Over the years, a lot of people have asked me to work with them who were very depressed. In my clinical training, I was taught to look at depression as an illness, as a mental illness. But I now come to see it in quite a different way. I now see that depression is created in the same way that anger is created, by the language which we have been educated to use. Anger is created by a language we use when other people behave in ways we don't like. And I find that depression is created by people judging themselves in a way that creates the depression. So when I'm seeing somebody who's very depressed, I ask them, what needs of yours are not being met? But they very seldom are able to tell me that, because they haven't been educated to be conscious of their needs. They've been educated to blame themselves and others. So it takes a while to help these people see that they're depressed because they are thinking what's wrong with them and being disconnected from what needs of theirs are not being met. So the conversation often goes like this. I ask them, what needs of yours are not being met? And they say, I'm a failure. See, I ask about needs. They tell me a judgment they have of themselves. And I point out this difference to them. I say, well, you're telling me now what you think of yourself. I'm asking, what need of yours is not being met? And they think again, and they say, I compare myself to my brother and sister, and I see what they've accomplished in life, and I see what I have, and it just shows me what a failure I am. Now notice they're again not telling me the answer to my question of what needs of yours aren't getting met. They're telling me this analysis they have of themselves that comes from comparing themselves to their brother and sister. I often tell such people to read the book How to Make Yourself Miserable by Dan Greenberg, and they'll see in there how we make ourselves miserable when we compare ourselves to other people. For example, he has a picture in that book of a very attractive man and a very attractive woman, and all of their measurements are on the picture. And the exercise is, take your measurements, compare them to these beautiful people, and think about the difference. This book produces, if you do that exercise, you'll be miserable in a short time. So I try to show people that it's this kind of thinking that makes us depressed, what we tell ourselves about ourselves, that we judge ourselves in a way we've been trained to judge people. And it's these judgments that imply badness, wrongness, inferiority, abnormality that creates the depression. And once people have identified these judgments that create their depression, I show them how to transform these judgments into unmet needs. And they experience what a different world they live in when they get connected to the need that isn't getting met, rather than get stuck in these ways in which they judge themselves. One day, I was going to be doing a workshop in one country in the evening, and one of the people coordinating my schedule in that country said, Marshall, would you think it'd be all right if I brought my daughter to the workshop tonight? She's in a mental hospital now. She's been there for some time, and she's terribly depressed, and she just sits and doesn't say anything and stares at the floor. Do you think it would hurt her to come to your training this evening? I said, well, there's going to be a lot of people there, and I don't think I'll be able to do any work specifically with her, but if you want to bring her, I don't see any problem. So that night, the mother brought her daughter, about 19 years old, to the workshop, and I could see as soon as she walked in how sad she looked. She just looked down at the floor, and she sat down and looked down at the floor. The whole night, she just seemed to be very, very depressed. During the course of that evening, I told the group some thoughts about depression that I mentioned a few minutes ago, that I saw depression not as a result of an illness that people have, but simply that they're thinking about themselves in a way that creates the depression. And that if we can get people to identify this thinking and be conscious that that thinking is all a distortion of their needs and teach them how to hear their needs, there's a radical transformation comes about. People don't get stuck in the depression. They can start to imagine ways of getting the needs met in a more fulfilling way. And I gave a couple examples of that evening. At the end of the evening, they were going to take a picture of me for publicity purposes, and just at the moment that they were going to snap the picture, it looked to me as though somebody was coming to hit me because I saw an arm being thrown toward me, and I quickly looked over, and it was this young woman, and she was throwing her arm around me. But the picture got snapped just at that point where I was still thinking that someone's trying to hit me, and so I looked very deranged in this picture. But she had such a benevolent look on her face. It's been one of my favorite pictures that I've kept for years. I look like the person who earlier that day had been in a mental hospital. And as she's throwing her arm around my neck, she's saying, "Thank you, Marshall. Thank you so much for showing me that my depression is a result of what I'm telling myself, that it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with me." She came out of the hospital the next day, and that was about 10 years ago now, and I've kept track of her progress with her mother, and the mother told me she's doing very well. Now, the next day when she came out of the hospital, I did work with her and give her a little bit of practice on how to identify these inner messages that tell us there's something wrong with ourselves, and how to translate these messages into unmet needs. And to see that when we hear our unmet needs, what comes to our consciousness are possibilities for meeting these needs. But when we think in the static language of what's wrong with us, what are we, selfish, stupid, inconsiderate, when we have that language going on inside of ourselves, about ourselves, that doesn't lead us to get our needs met. Our needs are buried behind that kind of thinking. Now, why do we think that way? As I said in an earlier session, we think that way because we have been educated to think that way. And we have been educated to think that way because the structures we have been living under for a long time require people to be nice, dead people. We teach them this language of blame so that they will be forever looking outward to authorities to see whether they are getting the right answer or the wrong answer, whether they are being judged as good or bad. Because in those cultures, you get punished if you're bad and rewarded if you're good. So this programs people's brains to live in that world of judgment. One of my favorite plays was written by Herb Gardner. It's called 1,000 Clowns. And in one part of that play, educational authorities, two people from the educational authorities, come to the hero's house because he has kept his nephew, age 12, at home, and his nephew is not going to school. So the school authorities are questioning him about this, about why he is not sending his nephew to school. And he answers this way. He said, "I just want him to stay with me till I can be sure he won't turn into another carbon copy of that ever-popular modern hero, Norman Nothing. I want to be sure he'll know when he's chickening out on himself. I want him to stay awake and to know who the phonies are. I want him to know how to holler and put up an argument. I want to be sure he sees all the wild possibilities. I want him to know it's worth all the trouble just to give the world a little goosing when you get the chance. And I want him to know the subtle, sneaky, important reason why he was born a human being and not a chair. So nonviolent communication wants to support people, to see that they are human beings and not a chair. So that's why nonviolent communication focuses our attention on what's alive in us and what's alive in other people, and doesn't get us stuck in thinking of what we are.